Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to inspiring women about adversity and how we can feel uplifted from other stories and think differently about our own lives. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Yara Martinez from all the way over in New York. Hello and welcome, Yara.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Pleasure. And I love your kitchen there, and we're not allowed to show anyone where you are, but you're looking in a...
It's technically not my kitchen.
It's not your kitchen, but we're looking at a fab setting there. So thank you for your time. Yara is a well-known actress, best known for award-winning hit roles and including appearing on primetime soap operas in the States as a regular cast member on primetime Hollywood Heights and for starring in the Amazon comedy series Alpha House, the comedy drama Jane the Virgin, and HBO crime drama True Detective. Wow. So Yara, in award-winning roles and now lockdown, how have you been spending lockdown? How have you coped? How have you stayed sane?
You know, it's been a journey, the lockdown. I mean, it's been so long. The first couple of months, I was actually, in a twisted way, enjoying it because it was the first time that I actually was home for a while and with my husband for a while without being interrupted with having to travel for work. I hardly ever work in Los Angeles besides Jane the Virgin and True Detective was in LA, but usually my series regular roles are outside of LA. So selfishly, it gave me this downtime to really appreciate my home and my husband and, you know, just catching up with everyone through Zoom. I had like 3 Zoom calls a day with my family in Puerto Rico and my friends on the East Coast. And then now we've been in this lockdown for a really long time. So that, you know, the novelty of that has worn off. I definitely, you know, I was kidding around with my stepmom because she would ask me like, how are you? And I'd be like, well, at this moment, right now, I'm okay.
Of course, you've got it all happening over there. And I think, you know, that will help a lot of women listening, you know, that the highs are higher and the lows are lower and we're all over the place. And in fact, I was watching one of your recordings on YouTube earlier saying that you chose your top 5 favorite movies for women on the verge of a nervous breakdown for actual research. And I loved that and the way they were just completely losing it. And we're all very near and on that verge.
We're all on edge right now. We're all on edge. And I'm very forgiving towards people and more importantly towards myself for not having everything together and not being, you know, not having such steady moods. And I just try to remind myself, who was it? Someone tweeted, oh God, like if you're suffering, you know, if you have anxiety and depression and you can't sleep at night, you're just you're suffering from consciousness. You know, like you're just present in this world.
Exactly. We're all feeling it on different levels, different scales. And it's bringing it back to kindness, isn't it? And seeing, you know, our girlfriends and other friends and family all troubled too. It's not nice, is it? We'll get through it. So you're Cuban American. You were born in Puerto Rico. And where's home now then? Is home in New York?
Well, home's going to be in New York probably for 2 years, but my home base, like where my house is that my husband and I bought is Los Angeles. I grew up in Miami also. So family, you know, my family is in Miami and in Puerto Rico, but my home base is LA.
Fabulous. And those fabulous places I'd love to go, Puerto Rico and Cuba. So your acting career followed a love for ballet and the strict discipline gave you some of the tools and you've got incredible family connections in ballet, haven't you?
Yes. My great aunt is Alicia Alonso. She passed away over a year ago. So I grew up with a family that was very involved in the arts and very supportive. I mean, they wanted me to be a ballerina. At the age of 12, I was supposed to go to Cuba and start training to be a professional dancer. And that was actually the moment that I decided after going to this intense summer dance program in Point Park College in Pittsburgh, they made us take acting classes to help with the classical roles. And you know how people sign your shirts or like, you know, yearbooks and stuff after like, or like picture books after like camps, everybody was like, oh, you're a great dancer, but really you should consider acting. Like, maybe is this a hint that I should? I'm a better actor than dancer.
I'm sure you're fabulous at both.
Oh no! I would die if I had to put on point shoes right now. I don't even know what I would do with myself. I dance in my living room with friends and music playing loudly, but classical ballet is besides appreciating it, I definitely don't dance ballet anymore. But yeah, so that helped me. I broke the news to my family. I think I want to be an actor. I don't want to be a dancer anymore. And they were heartbroken because they really thought I was going to follow along in my great aunt's footsteps. But then immediately after, like, the shock of me not being a dancer, they completely supported the fact that I wanted to be an actor.
Oh, good for you. And you've been in an incredible amount of roles in an incredibly short time, from comedy to crime and drama. Since the camp when you were just 12, your roles have been diverse, from a fugitive in NBC's hit series Chase to a conservative defence lawyer in ABC Family The Lying Game, and even political comedy ahead of the game in some of Amazon's first TV programs with Alpha House. So
yeah, Alpha House was like their first series. That and this other one, Beta, I forget the name, Beta something. We were the first ones.
Definitely. And any favorite genres?
No, I mean, to act in, I like both. You know, there was a while that I was just doing dramas and I was really, really dying to do a comedy. And then Alpha House came along and Jane the Virgin. And I mean, there's nothing like being at work and like laughing at the other actors or like at what you have to do and just having to get through the day without laughing because you're laughing so hard. Like, that is such a joy for me. So that's really fun. But no, I really enjoy all aspects. I guess I just don't want to be pinned down to one. So if I get stuck for too long doing one, but I am jonesing to do a comedy now.
We all need some comedy right now, my goodness. So as you say, you trained to be an actress in Miami for 4 years at the conservatory in Miami called New World School of the Arts, but you have played strong roles as both the wife of the US Marshals in Breakout Kings from the same creators of Prison Break, and in Southland you play the wife of Kevin who died and sharing grieving the loss of someone. So are you drawn to emotive and human interest roles that make a difference to others?
Well, the answer to that is yes, definitely. But when I first started working, you know, people always ask actors, like, how did you, you know, manage your career or, you know, just curate it? And really at the beginning, you just want to work as an actor. It's so difficult just to even get into the audition room. It's so difficult to get an agent. So at the beginning, it was pretty much what I could get, you know, and I was just really, really lucky. Like, Southland was such an excellent show with such amazing actors. And I also worked with Sean Hattasy on that I had done a pilot with that didn't get picked up. But he's an amazing actor. So I was very lucky in the sense that I ended up landing in these productions with a really great team of people. And I, like, in my career, I've seen that, like, oh, we all like end up working again in one way or another, like the connection, you know, it's like this web. And it's been really nice where I've landed. I consider myself super fortunate in that sense. But honestly, in the beginning, especially being Latina, most of the roles that I got, like, I kid around, like, the way I made a living in my mid to late 20s was by crying on TV. Like, I was always the victim, you know, like, that's just how, that's the role that I got, you know. And so it was so nice when I got into my 30s to all of a sudden be given, you know, a role like Adriana de Portago in Alpha House and Jane the Virgin, even though Luisa on Jane the Virgin cries a lot, but it's such a, you know, it's such a wide range of emotions that she goes through. And it's not like the typical character. Very grateful that shift happened within the industry. I mean, it's taking longer in the industry, but at least for my career, I was very grateful for all of that.
Well, good for you. You know, it's very hard. And, you know, particularly for actors and actresses at hard at the moment, it has to get better though, doesn't it? It has to get better. You've worked with some incredible men and women, including beginning your career in the Hitcher road thriller with supervillain Sean Bean and all sorts of incredible people. But let's talk about the new movie that you're in now, Huracan. So tell us about that. It's a psychological thriller.
Yes, it's a psychological thriller. This character played by Cassius, who also wrote, acted, and directed the film. He did all three, which is amazing. You know, he's this young man in Miami, and he's suffering. He's suffering from a bunch of different, from depression, mental issues. And he has, I don't want to like give too much away, but he has mental issues. And then he's a fighter. And then he's struggling with this personality disorder, this person, Huracan, that he has in his mind, and not being able to tell the lines of reality and what's going on in his head start to get blurred. And Cassius uses this really great, he puts a red filter whenever the Huracan personality starts like kind of taking over, which I thought was really interesting. And then he goes to see my character, and my character tries this pretty innovative method called EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization. I can't say the word. Eye movement desensitization. Oh my God, I can't say it. yes, EMDR, right. And so she uses this technique on him for him, and then you'll see how that technique influences his life and how it overlaps with the fighting. And yeah, it's a thriller. I need to work on the one-liner, right, for this?
No, not at all. I mean, I've got here, it's a psychological thriller about an aspiring MMA fighter from Miami with multiple personality disorders, and it's streaming on HBO since yesterday, is that right? 23rd of October? Oh, I think some of that's on the trailer, isn't it, in terms of...
I didn't know if the spoiler was like saying that Huda Khan was the... Whatever. I didn't know if I was going to spoil him.
But the Influential Women podcast chats about adversity and setbacks and how we can help others get through tough times, which we're all facing on different levels right now. So the character, as you mentioned, that you play is a therapist. How did you train for that?
Well, Cassius, when he wrote the script, was working with a therapist in Miami that has been using this method. Her name is Judy Passos, and she was really, really lovely, and he connected us. And what was really cool was we actually went to the same high school. She's younger, but it was really cool to meet someone from Miami that had been helping him with the script, but also just giving me so much insight in what it's like to use this therapy with patients. And she was really, really open. She, you know, also like helped me understand what it feels like for her as a therapist. I think Cassius and I took maybe a little bit of liberty for storytelling, you know, and in how we play with it. I mean, we are accurate in the sense that it's done, but maybe I feel like my character, just for storytelling, maybe was a little more compassionate after one scene. She was there on set. She's like, I don't know if I would have touched him. And I was like, whatever, it's for the story, you know, like, but she actually saw the film and wrote me a really, really nice text saying that she thinks I did like a really accurate job and really thanked me for wanting to uphold that.
Definitely. And I think, you know, having put all that work in and that research and really getting in the mind of the accuracy and how it feels is incredible, isn't it? And we'll touch on you helping out the main character to give him the strength to get through his day-to-day life, but we won't give away the root of the problem. But they were literally, you know, they didn't know whether it was schizophrenia or post-traumatic stress or bipolar, or there were symptoms of a bigger problem, weren't there?
Yeah, and also someone that had been lost in the system, you know, that just kept getting shuffled through the system and just this, you know, the consequences of growing up in, you know, poor in Miami and all of that, and finally finding a therapist that really wanted to invest in him and really get to the root of the problem. Also in the story, the backstory for my character was that my brother suffered from the similar thing. So that was another reason that she really wanted to focus her attention on him, kind of thinking like if she could save him, she could save her brother, you know? So
this lady's brother had suffered from it, and that's why she went into it. Gosh, incredible. You know, these are crazy times. People are suffering, needing strength like that. And I think those emotionally charged and hard-hitting scenes in that new movie, you know, will help people understand, and those skills and awareness to help people with their mental health right now. If people say they're okay, I'm not sure everyone is doing brilliantly. Evidently, my brother's actually a psychotherapist, and he said when people use the word fine, they mean effed off, irritated, neurotic, and exasperated, you know. People don't use the word fine if they're doing really well, do they? They just about coping if they say fine.
Or like they just don't want to talk about it if I say fine. It's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. Which everyone's getting to that stage now, aren't they? So we've had amazing previous guests, from trauma counselors to mindfulness Buddhist coaches, mental toughness experts. Please listen to some of our previous episodes, which may well help lift our mindsets or our mood. We love hearing how we can help you all. So back to Yara, from TV into movies. In the middle of a global health pandemic. When did you record the film? Because it was originally due out in 2019, wasn't it?
Yeah, we shot it in the beginning of 2018, January, February, in Miami, which was something that I had never worked in Miami. And it was one of the big reasons that I did the film is I wanted to work in Miami with a Miami crew, you know, Miami storytellers, and it gave me a lot of pride. The crew was absolutely amazing. And it was just so nice to be in my hometown, just seeing all the talent that's there. So that was super satisfying. Also, the Cuban coffee in between takes was really nice as well.
So it was home from home. How fantastic. And it probably feels like a lifetime ago now with everything that's happened, but it's come out. And it's sad, you know, with cinema, particularly in the UK, you know, with the James Bond movie pushed back till next year, a lot of cinemas have closed. They're all suffering. You know, people love movies, whether it's in the box office or at home. People are watching more movies, I think, than ever before, getting some joy. Now, how does Cassius, that you mentioned, Cassius Corrigan, is the film director, producer, and the star, all three roles, incredible. Incredible to perform all those as a feature debut for him. I mean, really exciting. He's said to have a bit of the young Sylvester Stallone about him, and obviously
I read that in The Guardian. I was like, go Cassius.
How does he feel about that?
I mean, I haven't spoken to him after that, but I'm sure he's super stoked. That's an awesome, it's an amazing review. And he's worked so hard. I mean, if there's something besides the fact that he wrote, acted, and directed in the film, just he's so relentless and, like, you know, he knows how to apply his energy really, really, really well. And he gets things done. And it's so admirable because there's no map for that. You know, like, you kind of just have to go for it. And I have total respect and total faith in him. Like, I really think we're going to see more of him just because he has that. He has that thing and he's relentless, which I think is one of the most important things in this industry. Like, you have to be, because no one's going to hand it to you.
Everyone has to fight for it, but young and dynamic, and good for him and good luck to that. Hopefully there's four more to come so that it keeps you busy as well. So you've been an action woman yourself in movies. You've done bank heists. I've read that you like being a badass in...
Yeah, I mean, but that's a stretch. Like, it's so funny because I did do my, in that guest star that I did on Chase, I had to like hang from a cliff and I actually did do it and it was super fun and I felt super badass after. But then I did this show for Amazon called The Tick, where I played a super villain, and maybe it was age, but I was like, I'm okay with my stunt double doing these things. I'm like, I don't feel like having a bad back for 3 years because of this one scene. Yeah. But I still like playing it. I'm happy to hand it over to the stunt doubles now. I'm like, it's okay. You can make it look like I did it. I'm okay with that.
Fair enough. We won't tell anyone. And you've also appeared in the empowering women's TV series Sex and the City, which everyone loves that show as well, don't they?
Well, that was, I mean, I appeared, I was an extra. That was my first, it's really funny, actually. That was my first like job ever when I moved to New York. And I was basically a featured extra, which is really funny now because now I'll have, you know, like fans like write to me like, is this you on Sex and the City? And like, it's the scene where Samantha throws the martini and like I react behind it. Of course, like being like a thespian, I was like, do I react? Do I not react? Do I laugh? Do I, you know, like just really trying to milk that moment.
Oh yeah, but to be in it is fab, isn't it? Everyone loves that. All those empowering badass, we love all that. So this podcast demonstrates how we can learn from setbacks and thrive and survive. Are we able to ask, have you overcome any personal or life career adversity to thrive and survive from that you want to mention?
I think in life, everybody has like major personal setbacks. But I think just, you know, when I think of my life, it's like, it feels like it's been peppered throughout, you know, along with like the career setbacks. I mean, in my 20s, it felt really impossible. It didn't feel like I was going to be able to make a living off being an actor. And that was very depressing. And I really had to mentally make a shift in what I was allowing in my life and what I was watching and what I was allowing to like permeate into my being, I had to kind of like armor up. And so I'm proud of myself for that. I'm proud of myself for getting through that and believing in myself. And instead of turning to drugs and alcohol and all that, I just kind of started meditating. I stopped watching like E! News and all that stuff. Not, you know, not to shame anyone that watches that, but I wanted to be an actor and I'm watching people do it. Meanwhile, I'm on my sofa with a box of pizza and I'm like, I'm a loser. I had a moment where I was like, well, maybe I should stop doing this. This isn't being nice to me. And this is definitely not helping me get anywhere. So just having kind of like that awareness to then all of a sudden start watching encouraging things and good interviews and listening to better, like more hopeful music, and just kind of helping myself get through that. But yeah, I mean, just constantly throughout, I don't think there's any actor that hasn't faced a lot of setbacks. You know, it's like you're getting rejected on the daily. You're getting told no on the daily. So it kind of just feels like it's peppered through life.
Definitely. I think you have to be really strong and resilient, don't you? And thank you for sharing those, because a lot of those tips will help people in lockdown and with what they're coping with now, and that being kind to yourself and nurturing yourself, eating better and watching better stuff and hanging out with things that make you feel good.
Yeah, it all makes a difference. I mean, you know, I used to think change was like something that had to happen that was really big and obvious, and it's not. It's like it can be small little things throughout your life, throughout each day, that end up becoming a big change. But it's not like this one big thing that happens to you.
Definitely. And that, you know, those auditions are grueling, aren't they? You know, the work you put in and the rejection, as you say.
Yeah, it's horrible. Auditions are horrible.
Poor you. And what's the sort of statistically, is it like 1 out of 100 that might, you know?
I don't know, but I read somewhere, I guess it's different in the, I don't know what the union for actors is, but the union for actors in the US is SAG, the Screen Actors Guild. And it's already super hard. You know, it's like a catch-22 to get into our union. And I read somewhere that 2% of the actors in SAG make a living off acting. And that's not including the people that aren't SAG, because most actors are trying to get into our union so that they can start making money, really, you know? So it's something like 2% of SAG actors make a living.
So it's only for the brave, isn't it? And the fearless. So which strong women have inspired you in your life?
My mom, my grandmother, my stepmom. I'm really, really surrounded by amazing badass women. Like obviously my aunt Alicia Alonso, from when I was very young. I always just admired and looked up to her and her discipline. But those, and then just, you know, Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin was really inspiring to watch her career take off and how she handled being number one on set and her generosity. Eva Longoria is another one that is so empowering and so inclusive and really is a true example of that when women get together and can count on each other, that you're unstoppable, like, and that we need that. I'm really inspired right now. Currently, with all the Latinx women in Hollywood, I feel like we're coming together and we're really just there for each other, and it's really necessary.
Brilliant. Oh, thank you for that. That's definitely inspiring for everyone. Can we talk about your passions then? I mean, we knew about some ballet, but first, I just want to say we love collaborating on health and well-being with guests and businesses who share our values. So brands and media companies, please contact me at nikkibannermanradio.co.uk or at influencialpod and tag us on Instagram. So back to Yara, your hobbies. How do you spend your time? Do you carry on dancing? You say you do sometimes.
I had some friends come over the other day. I have a little backyard here, and I just turned on the music and we just started dancing, and it felt so good to move. I really miss dancing with people. I really, really do. But that was just fun. I mean, I hadn't done that in so long. It felt really great. I read a lot. I really enjoy reading, but talk about, like, I like started realizing that I was reading really dark stuff. And I was like, maybe this isn't what I should be reading. Maybe I need to go back to keeping it kind of light. But I really do enjoy reading. Like, that to me is one of my favorite ways to spend time. I love it. Friends, you know, which is hard now, but Zooming with friends, like, well, I'll have happy hour with my friends, you know, That's been really helpful. And then again, just being able to have like two people over outside is just so lovely. Yeah, it really, really is. And I'll go on really long, my husband and I will go on really long walks, which is really nice just to be outside. It's so important.
Yes. We're really coming back to sort of, you know, the basic values, aren't we?
But I do think it's important to move. So, and it's so hard, you know, because you're stuck inside. So even if it's just like turning on like your favorite song and dancing, who cares if you look like an idiot? Like, do it.
Exactly. Let's do it now. So do you have a mantra for living your life, a motto that you live by?
I do meditate every morning, and I don't have like one set mantra, but whenever I find myself really just like in my head or lost or nervous for work or just anything, I just try to remind myself to be a catalyst of love. You know, I want to be present for love and be open for it and to give and receive it. So that's kind of where I find when I'm in a good place or when I'm not in a good place, where I try to take myself there.
That's definitely a good thing for people to practice, and that's of value to everyone. Thank you. Now, what's next for you then, Yara? Is it tough at the moment with the work coming along, or?
Well, I'm here in New York. I'm going to be doing the show Bull that I've recurred on. They made me a series regular, so I will be here working on that. We're currently working on it. You know, the protocol for COVID is really extreme, and I'm really grateful for production. They're doing an amazing job. I feel very safe on set, which is wonderful. And everyone, you know, everybody wants to work. So everyone's following the protocol, and production's doing an amazing job of making sure that everyone is and just keeping things moving. So I'm going to be here for a while doing this. I'm hoping production doesn't get shut down, but hopefully everything goes according to plan. I'll probably be here for the next year or two.
Brilliant. That's great that work's still happening, and enjoy New York. So lastly, what wisdom would you say to uplift or influence women or men listening out there?
I mean, I guess that we have each other. You know, we have each other. Like, even when you feel alone, just you're not. You can reach out. You don't even have to talk about something deep or sad or anything. You can just call your friend, you can call your husband. If you're not with you, my husband's in Portugal, but just that you're not alone, that we have each other.
Thank you so much, Yara, for your thoughts on how getting in character has helped others come back from huge difficulty. We hope that the movie and your inspiration will help others with what they're currently facing. So thank you. If anyone has been troubled by the movie or content, then please seek help to get through whatever you're struggling with right now and to help your health and mental well-being. So thanks to Yara and Cassius and the team. Good luck with the new movie. The Influential Women's Podcast is co-founded and host-presented by exec producers Nikki Bannerman and award-winning Juliet Nichols, and produced by Safran Mirza. Please subscribe for free on all podcasting platforms to hear our real-life stories out every other Tuesday.